You ready to check your feelings at the door?
Check it out. Check it out.
This is Am I Reister or Am I Wrong? We're bringing you facts and only the truth. Now, Am I Reister or Am I Wrong?
I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amson. And this is Reister or Wrong. Crowds at football games this weekend were enormous, and people are upset about it. You have CNN talking about it. People are supposed to be afraid. And you also have right-wing sports pundits talking about, oh, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to America. And Matt Walsh, he apparently hates women in sports because he thinks that women are ruining the games that were designed for us men. Danny Gonzalez, head coach of New Mexico, Ed Orgeron, head coach at LSU, and Brian Kelly, head coach at Notre Dame, all said things that people found offensive. But were they actually offensive? We will rank them. Actor Michael K. Williams passes away, and we remember one of the greatest characters in TV history. And of course, Canceller Consequence and the best of social media. This is Reister or Wrong, the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. Of course, you can shoot us an email. I'm Matt, I-M-M-A-D, at unafraidshow.com. And shoot us a text message, 818-293-7547. Leave a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. But most importantly, share the feed, tell a friend about it, and all of that. So, Ralph, we will start at the crowd sizes at football games because the crowds were enormous starting on Thursday with that Virginia Tech, North Carolina game. I mean, it was thick. And then you went to the Georgia Clemson game.
78,000 people.
Did you feel, and I know that you had a mask on, did you feel comfortable there?
Yeah. I mean, I'm vaccinated. I've been taking care of myself. I know that the virus tends to have a little bit more of an effect on people who are out of shape. I'm working my way back in shape, so I'm not completely out of the woods or whatever. But 4 of the 6 people in my house are vaccinated. My kids are back in school, so if we're going to get it, we're going to get it. You know, they're supposed to wear masks all day, every day. But, you know, that doesn't, you know, completely inoculate you from the ability to catch this thing. So I do think that people who have done what they can and continue to do what they can should get back to some modicum of living their lives in a sensible way, with the understanding that there's still a lot of people who aren't vaccinated, and you have to protect some people from themselves. So that's why I'm out at a 78,000 person game in a mask, because I'm trying to protect somebody who's not smart enough to protect themselves in that situation. I would venture to guess 3 to 5% of that crowd was masked up.
3 to 5%.
Yeah. So you're talking maybe like 4,000 people out of 80,000.
Okay, so see, this is an interesting debate, right? Because you have CNN who had this to say.
Schaffner, even though this surge is even worse in some states and in some parts of the country than at any other time during the pandemic, we are seeing relatively normal life, like packed football stadiums this weekend. This morning, Dr. Anthony Fauci expressed concern about that here on CNN. Listen.
No, I don't think it's smart. I think when you're dealing particularly in, if you know, outdoors is always better than indoors. But even when you have such a congregate setting of people close together, first, you should be vaccinated. And when you do have congregate settings, particularly indoors, you should be wearing a mask.
I just can't get over the picture.
What is controversial about that?
There's nothing controversial about that. What's controversial in my mind about that is that CNN anchor, which she essentially goes on to ask a doctor, like, is this safe? And the doctor's like, I would never use that word. Like, I don't have an issue I don't have an issue with Anthony Fauci. I don't really watch the news. I read most of the news that I get, especially when it comes to this pandemic. Because when it comes to televised news, especially the 24-hour news networks, they have to – like, the entire goal is to keep you watching. That is their goal. It doesn't matter if they're giving you information that you need or that you don't need. Their goal is to get you to continue to watch. That's something that you have to recognize as a viewer, is they don't want you to turn the channel. So you have to ask yourself, what are they doing to make sure that I don't? And one of the things that I've found is that they do a lot of expressing concern over things that people are on their show to explain that don't necessarily need that level of fear and concern. This is a matter of logic. Anthony Fauci's not wrong when he says it's probably not smart to fill these stadiums, because you have to understand that Anthony Fauci's goal is to stop the virus from spreading. If Anthony Fauci's goal was to keep your laundry nice and white, he would probably tell you not to go eat barbecue. Like, that's just...
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's doing his job. He has a specific goal. Most Americans have the goal of just trying to get some semblance of their lives back.
Yeah.
Right. With the understanding that there are some people who had the goal of never paying attention to any of this in the first place, who have made this entire thing harder. And the truth is, a lot of the people at these college football games are people who are sick and tired of spending the last 18 to 19 months carrying the load for the rest of society, who want to be contrarian shitheads. Like, see, and I'm one of them. So I'm going to go to a football game. I'm going to get vaccinated. I'm going to wear a mask. I'm going to go to a football game. What I don't want to see is some CNN anchor being like, should we be doing this? Shouldn't everybody still be scared? Like, yeah, this entire thing continues to be incredibly scary. But there's a roadmap for us to get out of it. And I feel like the people who are following it should try to live their lives in a way that is intelligent, but also respecting of the fact that, like, you got to live. Is college football a necessity? Probably not, but that's life here, George.
Yeah. And so I go to games. My kids play all of these sorts of things. I am significantly more comfortable outdoors than I am indoors.
Yeah.
As it relates to the virus and all of these things, I wear a mask.
Which is funny, because the one thing that never stopped or slowed down was club basketball. But no one wants to talk about that.
Correct. Nobody wants to talk about that. And I'm a person that believes that when I watch the news. So we just showed the CNN clip and you expressed, you know, concern over the fear porn that some people have talked about. But when I watch Fox News, because I do watch Fox News, sometimes I watch it to get angry, and sometimes I watch it just to see what people have to say, because I think that it's important. Where it's like, I'm a Christian, but I've read the Quran. I have read the Jehovah's Witness Bible. I've read other things. I've done some studies in Buddhism and Darwinism, all these sorts of things, because I think it's good to know these things. That way, when people say things to you, that you know what else is out there and what people think and how to combat these things, all of that. So, like, so where people exclusively watch one thing, I'm not that guy. You know, if I'm going to watch the news, I'm going to see what CNN's talking about. I'm going to see what MSNBC's talking about. Then I'm going to flip over to Fox News, see what everybody's talking about, then form an opinion about things. And there's a different type of fear porn that's perpetrated on Fox News. It is. It's more about, you know, this country is slipping away from you. Things are changing. They want, you know, all of this. It's just a different
type of
fear porn.
What do you mean, press one for English? I don't want to press one for English.
This is America. I know we don't have an established language, but this is the way it's supposed to. And I'm just like, come on, bro. Like, at some point in time, and you brought up a great point, that their goal is to keep us watching as long as possible. So if they can enhance our fears and then bring on somebody to reinforce that point, then that is what keeps people watching. So this has been an act of you know, like so many people have had an act of defiance as it relates to the pandemic. And they're just like, I'm just not going to acknowledge it. Prime example. Have you heard of Adam Shaheen, Ralph?
Adam Shaheen. I have not heard of Adam Shaheen.
Okay. Adam Shaheen plays for the Miami Dolphins, right? Okay. If you, he just tested positive for COVID.
Okay.
People went to his, so that means he's out for the first game.
Okay.
And he may essentially be out for what he has to miss a minimum of 10 days, depending on when he tests negative and all this kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So 10 days. So he's going to miss a game and then can't practice until the middle of the week after. So this dude, people went to his Twitter. His Twitter says, his bio, Twitter bio says, I will not comply. And his location says, somewhere not wearing a mask. How stupid is this for an NFL player, knowing how the testing policies, procedures, and how they want to get people vaccinated? Coaches and general managers talking about they're making decisions based upon vaccination status. And when he's a backup tight end, he's not their starter. So what do you think the chances are that he remains with the Miami Dolphins all season?
Probably not great. Doesn't it make you sad that people found a way to make teams out of something like this? Like, I'm proudly no mask. I'm proudly no vaccine. Or, like, even the other end, like I'm a high five everybody that's wearing a mask, even though that exposes me to more people. or like I'm going to get a bumper sticker that said that I got vaccinated to make people who didn't get vaccinated feel bad. Like, the fact that we've made teams out of this is just super depressing.
And then there's Team Pfizer, Team Johnson & Johnson, Team Moderna. Bro, there is someone I know, and you know I'm normally very divulging on this podcast, but I can't in this one. Somebody I know has a loved one who is very upset with them, not because they didn't get vaccinated, but because they didn't get the vaccine that they told them to get. And I know I'm going to get a text about this, but it's okay. I'm talking about it anyway.
It sucks, man. And we always like, they're trying to divide us. No, we're doing it. We're doing all the work.
Yep. We're doing all the heavy lifting for them, buddy.
Yeah. No one's trying to divide us on anything. Like, you and I have spent a year on this podcast arguing about peanut butter and chocolate. The rest of society just found a way to make that fight stretch out over to issues that actually matter or could keep us safe or help us get our lives back. And then when you find yourself invested in one side of the aisle, rooting for yourself to be right over any information that might contradict how you initially felt about it or the initial bet that you placed, Clay Travis, the fact that you can double, triple, quadruple, and quintuple down and win and get ahead is phenomenally backwards.
Do you realize how bad it is that now Doug Gottlieb is coming at Clay? It's just they're on the same network on Fox Sports Radio. I work for Fox Sports Radio as well. This is crazy, bro. So staying in the lane of sports, though. I enjoy women in sports, right? Love women in sports, particularly those who are good in football and all of this stuff. But my favorite woman in sports, period.
Let me guess.
Okay, go.
Is it Doris?
Yes, it is Doris Burke, dude.
I would rather throw
Mark Jackson and Stan Van Gundy in the garbage can during the NBA finals and replace them with Doris Burke. Dude, she is the best there is. period, at being an analyst. She's knowledgeable. She is. She teaches. She's funny. She occasionally says things on accident that turn out to be sexual references. Dude, it is outstanding. But then you have Matt Walsh, political pundit, if you will.
Let's be really specific as to what he is. He is a guy who spent the first 10 years of his online career writing stuff that your one aunt, your one passive aggressive aunt, would share on Facebook. And once that got enough traction, he turned into a conservative commentator.
Yes. On his Twitter bio, it says theocratic fascist, philanthropist, and aspiring cult leader. So that should let you know. But he says, yes, I said that. I don't like female analysts and reporters in football. No, I don't care if that upsets you. No, I don't apologize. Yes, I think women are feminizing traditionally male spaces. Yes, I think that's bad. Yes, I'm right. No, your whining doesn't change any of this. And as I said on my show, and the same sort of thing is happening to women. Women are having their spaces invaded by men as well. But of course, we aren't supposed to complain about that either, because the culprits are trans people in their case. So I guess we'll start at the beginning. That women are feminizing traditionally male spaces, and he hates female analysts and reporters.
The word traditionally is doing so much work there. Because football is like 100 years old. The idea that it's a traditionally male space when it's 100 years old. I don't know, man. Voting was a traditionally male thing. Just because a thing existed for the people who created it in order to exclude other people, just because it existed in that modality for a while before other people figured out a way to be included, doesn't mean that God created football for men in the beginning of time.
Dude.
Men probably invented skull, and eventually a woman decided to dip. Right? Yeah. It's not like you're saying that Moses brought down the tablets and a pig skin, and he said, these are the Ten Commandments, and this is for making sure that you never line up in shotgun on first and goal, only men. That was never the thing. It was never the idea that it's a traditionally male space just because guys did it first is such a weird thing to me.
Okay. Well, see, I look at it like this. As a former NFL player, right? As a former NFL player, I have never heard more insane and insanely wrong takes than from men about football. I mean, just stuff that just schematically makes no sense. Stuff that, is not possible. Just insane things, right? And it's like we live in a society. Matt Walsh's comment clearly echoes what I'm getting ready to say right now, that some kind of way inherently men are better at sports or teaching sports or breaking down sports simply because they have a penis. That makes you better at understanding football or basketball, or how does that make sense when so many of the people who are either play-by-play people or in some cases analysts didn't play football? Coaches didn't necessarily play on a high level. How many NFL coaches never even played football in college? A lot.
Did Todd Haley was a golfer.
Bro, what are we talking about? And the idea that some woman, because mind you, there are women who are coaching in the NFL right now, that some kind of way they can't coach or understand the game or understand the fundamentals and the principles. It makes no sense. I for one, There is nothing more frustrating than listening to somebody not knowledgeable about the game. I was watching a game. I tuned in for one of the college games, and an analyst, he was probably new. I hadn't heard him before. I don't want to out him, but he said something about a play, and I was like, bro, what are you talking about? Like this doesn't make sense. And then I read something. They were like, yeah, this team's always playing cover eight. I'm like, what the fuck is cover eight? Can you please explain that to me? Because that ain't one of the basic coverages. Like, if you say cover eight to an NFL player, they're going to be like, bro, what language are you speaking? Because I know what cover one, two, three, four, and five is essentially three but flipped over, and cover six is cover half. And aside from that, that's about the end of the list, buddy. Everything else is just made up by people, a combination of things.
Right. And you pointed out the thing, and this is one of the reasons that I like working with you and that I like supporting what you do is you played. And I think that there's enough media spaces out there that are filled by people who didn't. And that's not to say that I think that people who didn't play shouldn't have a place here. It's that they already have quite a few places. And so I think that it makes for a nice change of pace to have people involved in media, especially running the show, who had that experience firsthand. I think it helps strike a nice balance and adds a different flavor to the environment that's already out there. I'm not saying one thing is better than another. Sometimes you could be too close to a situation. But the entire concept of a traditionally male space, he's not referring to playing because he didn't play. He's referring to actually like enjoying the game on a Sunday or talking about the game at a bar with your friends. That's what he's talking about, traditionally male space. And the ironic thing about it, of him complaining about people being involved in spaces that they don't actually have any experience in, is that he's a fucking blogger and his entire job is to talk about stuff that he's never actually done. That's literally his entire job.
Yes.
That's it. And he made it. He made it doing exactly that. Now, this is a disingenuous point. He exists to get people talking about the things that he said, and we're feeding right into what he's all about right now by even bringing it up. But I think the really important thing is that there are a lot of women that need to know that they are welcome here, because this is the thing that they always think is in the back of their head. Because no guy ever, before he fires off a terrible take on the internet, no guy is ever thinking about whether or not it will be accepted on the basis of his private parts. Like that's not a thing that we go through. It's, and then sometimes we just do it intentionally just to see people get mad and kick the hornet's nest. I know you're like, no
kitchen, kitchen, oh, get your ass back in the kitchen. We don't want to hear your football takes. I know you've been covering football for, you know, 20 years in some of these women, 30 years. And not realizing that they have more experience talking to coaches in locker rooms than Matt Walsh and any other person would possibly have. And the idea that a man covering the game, because remember, there are writers, reporters, bloggers, all this stuff that cover teams. Most of them, the vast majority of them, did not play past high school, if they even played in high school.
Yeah.
They're just fans of the game. So if you're just a fan of the game, how can you criticize another fan of the game when they have more experience? It's mind blowing to me, dude. It is mind blowing how many people agree with Matt Walsh. That's the true alarming part.
Well, I don't want to see a woman on my TV. I only want to see lots of dudes. Pause.
But we want to see the women. They need to be in cheerleading outfits. That's where we want to see them, because that's where they serve their purpose, Ralph. I mean, don't you know that there is a reason? There is a reason why, Ralph, why us men, why we get to make the decisions about sports and about what women should do with their bodies, because we're the superior, we're smarter. We have this magic knowledge, dude. I mean, and imagine if a woman was president, Ralph. Imagine if a woman was president. How many wars would be started because she, you know, because her emotions were rolling all over the place because she's on her period or something. Imagine how many wars would be started because if a woman was president, Ralph.
Matt Walsh must not believe it's possible for a woman to be president because he's on a one-way track to get his house droned by the next female that gets elected. I want to end it with this. Here's one thing that I think women in sports media do well, and this isn't collective, and I'm not stereotyping, and it's not everybody. But one thing that I've appreciated and one difference that I've noticed is there's not a lot of guys who are searching for the why behind the what. Some do. Some absolutely ask why. There are a lot of men who go into situations thinking they know the answer, but they just need a comment from whoever the interview subject is. But not a lot ask why. And I have noticed that a lot of females involved in sports media will go that extra mile to say, like, okay, so you've explained what you did. Now tell me why you did it. And I've always found a lot of value in that. And to tell you the truth, my favorite sports writer ever, male or female, is Paula Boyden, who was a voter in the on the college football playoff and was down in Arizona for the last like three decades as a columnist, and was very good at just getting out of the way and telling the story. She's removed herself from the situation and told the story, but told it from kind of a more empathetic and holistic point of view. And I always looked at that as like, man, that'd be a really, really great goal to have. So I hope that if nothing else comes out of this, that there are a lot of men out there who reach out to women who are either in sports media or sports media adjacent and tell them, like, these are the things that you do really well, and here's where your footing is, and this is where your place is in all this. Because the discouraging thing for them really has to be that cancel culture is not real, because if it was, you couldn't say stuff like, I don't want to see women on my TV screen when it comes to sports, and still be able to continue to do your job.
Yep. And it is old and it is tired. And come on, man. Like, we're not feminizing football. Football is a rough and tumble sport. Yes, the rules are changing. It's not because it's feminizing. It's because it's a dangerous game. And you got to try to make it more, you know, safer. Aside from these dumbass targeting penalties, but I digress because we have four.
And even feminizing like the entire 80s wasn't filled with people wearing midriff jerseys and the pants haven't always been super tight, or the idea of men invading women's space like it's a new thing, when I know he supports President George W. Bush, former male cheerleader at Yale.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly, bro. Come on, bro.
Come on, man.
The next thing up is, who actually said the most offensive thing? And this is cancel or consequence.
Do we need to cancel, or is there a justified consequence? Let's find out now.
This is the portion of the show where we tell you where somebody was being canceled or whether they were receiving consequences for what they said or did out in the world. So, first victim or person, if you will, is Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head coach. Here's what he had to say after his game, after they beat Florida State.
I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight. I mean,
I was watching that live and I said, I know he didn't just say that. I know it, but I know it came from John McCabe, who was former Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach, and who was teed up differently. He said, yeah. What do you think about your team's execution today, John? I'm in favor of it. And that was a cool double entendre. It was funny at the time. Like, that's funny. Like, but Brian Kelly, anything, press clippings that you've ever heard from Brian Kelly, is there anything that would you ever describe him as humorous?
No.
And that's the bad part about, like, when you try to tell a joke when you're not the funny guy. He's the guy who stumbles over the story, who's like, yo, I got a cool joke for you. Okay. Do you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of the dad from Finding Nemo, when he was trying to tell a joke. And he's like, yo, aren't you a clownfish? He was like, yeah, I know one. And they're like, bro, that's who Brian Kelly is.
Albert Brooks. Yeah.
Yes.
Shout out to the movie The Agent, the weirdest movie of all time.
Never seen it.
Brendan Fraser, where he finds a baseball player in Mexico, brings him into the United States, and he like hits a home run in every at bat.
No.
Oh, that's a must. We're going to watch that. We got a new podcast idea coming up. But I thought it was funny. I think that anybody who doesn't think it's funny, I'm willing to say that they're probably right, but I laughed really hard and I watched it probably five different times.
So is this offensive?
I mean, to whom? Not to me. To me, it was funny. I watched a guy try to tell a joke and it fell flat and it was about killing his entire team.
After a win. So it's like, no, he's not going to actually kill it.
Like if there was a button to like tip the sideline reporter, like to send her $20 in that moment, I would have done like that was so funny to me.
Dude, if she knew that he was going to come with a joke, she would have teed him up better.
Oh, my gosh. And
dude, there was nothing cancelable or consequenceable about this because it was a joke gone wrong. If he had lost and he had said that about his team, that would have been a little bit more controversial. But I still
would have thought it was funny because he doesn't. He's not actually going to kill everyone in his program.
Well, I mean.
Nah. I don't want to get us sued. I've seen enough of the specific directional joke or reference that you're going to make moving forward, and I need to protect Reister Wrong from future litigation.
And so,
let me just step in real quick and make sure that we're not the subject of Friday's canceler consequence.
Okay, I will listen to you there, and I will stop. All right. So I was like, yo, this is not that big of a deal. But it seemed like people were upset because they thought other people were going to be upset about it. And nobody turned out to be upset about it. They're like, yo, this is a stupid off the cuff comment. All right. Bye. See you later. All right. The next coach that put his foot in his mouth is he receiving consequences or he's being canceled for what he said? And that's Ed Orgeron as he was walking into the Rose Bowl to play against UCLA.
Hey, bring your ass on. Bring your ass on, you little sissy blue shirt.
Dude, that was awesome. UCLA trolling him was the best thing because it was a play off of his wife with the LSU football team. And there were rumors circulating around about her and all of this stuff. Like, it just was not a great time. So the video was great, but that was the perfect troll for them coming, for him saying, bring y'all down here in your little sissy blue shirt.
If any of these are offensive, it's probably this one. Because you're actually going after, when remind you, one of his school colors is purple. So
it's violet. Okay. It's violet.
Oh, even better. Diet purple. If I was a UCLA fan, that would be something that would offend me because he's actually going after your school colors. Is it offensive in the grand scheme of planet Earth? Absolutely not. It's funny. And it's funny that things worked out the way that they did, because there's nothing
better
than someone.
They got their ass whooped, dude. And he had to eat humble pie. So he wasn't canceled.
Yeah.
He received all sorts of consequences for this, though.
And they were bullied.
Yes.
They were straight bullied.
Yes. They were bullied by people in Sissy Blue, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. And now UCLA's Twitter header says Sissy Blue, and the U is the cursive in U for UCLA.
Do you know what the best part about this is? This feels like when, because I saw this happen in real life, a guy sees a guy who looks to be gay, right? He's, you know, like dressed kind of femininely, all of this stuff. He starts calling them all sorts of sissies and punks and F words and everything else, right? Dude promptly comes over, beats his ass, and is like, now call me all this time, bro. And that's what happened to Ed Orgeron.
Yeah. Yeah. I got story time. You want story time?
Okay.
All right, ninth grade, not my ninth grade year, my eighth grade year. We had seven, eight, nine in junior high. And the year that I was in eighth grade, they were going to take all of the ninth graders to the local high school. And so I had ceramics class with a kid named Clarence, and he would do half the day at our junior high and half the day at the high school. And he would come back every single day and he'd be like, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it at Chandler High. Like, there's drive-bys. There's gangs.
Oh, my God.
Like, you're not going to make it. And Clarence was a feminine man.
Yeah.
And he was really into Foxy Brown. He had a Foxy Brown backpack, Foxy Brown.
Oh, my God. Under,
knew all of Foxy Brown's like rap lyrics and talked about Foxy Brown in ceramics every single day. That's all he ever talked about. In mind you, we're in ceramics class. So we're already making pottery. We're not doing the most masculine stuff in the entire world. And after about three straight weeks of him telling me that, like, he basically was doing the whole, like, they're going to make you squeal thing to me every single day. Like, it's not going to be safe for you. You're not going to make it out there. And I was like, you come back in one piece every single day and you go there in a Foxy Brown backpack.
I so think what I'm gonna made be, you think I'm not going to be?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So I said, I think I'm going to be fine, Clarence, from ceramics class. The next day, he does not get on the bus to go to Chandler High. He follows me from ceramics into PE, into the locker room, and whoops my ass in front of everybody.
What?
In front of everybody, right? And I'll never, ever, ever forget. First of all, when he was punching me, he said, why you be talking shit in first hour? And I remember thinking that was very funny. It's not funny to be getting my ass whooped in front of everybody, but like, that's why I'm getting my ass whooped. Because I talk shit in ceramics class.
Yeah.
So when he finished, like, he hit me probably 30 times in 20 seconds in front of all of my friends. He goes, are you still sure you're going to be okay? And he walked out of the locker room. And I was like, damn. I shouldn't have said a word. Like, I'll never forget. Man's name was Clarence, and he loved Foxy Brown, and he beat my ass on the way to PE.
Oh, my God. Dude, he's a gangster. His real name's Clarence, and Clarence lives at Brownfoot with both parents, and Clarence's parents have a real good marriage. This guy don't want a battle. He shook. This ain't no such thing as halfway crooks.
I would give anything to like know where that guy is now and just thank him for the what is one of the stranger stories of my junior high years of getting. I'm 100% sure that he, if he hadn't told anybody yet, that he definitely was gay. And I was like, dude, if you can go to high school and come back every single day, like, they're not going to get me, Clarence.
Yeah.
Like, if you're okay, I'm okay.
Yeah, dude.
And that that man made sure that I was not okay.
All right. The final coach. The final coach. Oh, my God. Is Danny Gonzalez from New Mexico. Danny Gonzalez, head coach at New Mexico. Ralph, you can tell the people what he said to that landed him on Cancel or Consequence.
Well, I definitely want to know from you. I want to read this to you and see what you think, because this is not a term that I've ever heard outside of sports. Like, I get that it's violent imagery, but it, like, this isn't a thing that exists anywhere other than athletics. So what Danny Gonzalez said is, we can't relax. When we have the opportunity to step on somebody's throat, we need to. That's the difference in learning that having the habit of losing and trying to change that. There is a great habit of losing around here. So he said, when we have the opportunity to step on somebody's throat, we need to.
He's right. Dude, but I mean, he's just saying that's a football reference. Like, step on their neck means to hold them down and don't show mercy. He's like, sweep the leg. No mercy.
Right, but it's not up. Even it's not even one of those things where, like, obviously this is violent imagery that came from something else a long, long time ago, but I've never heard it in reference to anything other than football.
Yeah.
Maybe even basketball. Like, okay, close out. It just means close out.
So who said it was offensive?
A professor at the University of New Mexico told him that he was offended, and Danny Gonzalez, like, publicly apologized for it. And I don't know if it was on the heels of the Brian Kelly thing, but if you know Danny Gonzalez,
if you were Danny Gonzalez?
If I was Danny Gonzalez, yes, because Danny Gonzalez is not the type of dude who would ever. This is the funniest part about it. Danny Gonzalez is not the type of dude who would ever want to hurt anybody's feelings. He wants to win football games, which is why he's using imagery that is specific to the game of football.
Yeah.
If you ever met or talked to Danny Gonzalez, the guy's, he's just a good man. He's a good man.
He doesn't want to apologize in this feelings. Situation.
I would request that the person making the request that I apologize do so publicly, and then I would gladly apologize publicly. But they need to see that they're not, that they're alone in this world feeling that way. Sometimes that's an important thing, and I don't think that people should get I'm not a big fan of people getting beat up online. I even came to the defense of that woman who accidentally voted for University of Arizona.
For anybody who understands, so the AP poll just came out, and a lady, this is why Matt Walsh has a point here now, right?
Oh, that must be why Matt Walsh was mad. First of all, if you can be a female sports anchor and former athlete, she's a former athlete.
Yeah.
If you can be a former athlete and female sports anchor in the University of Tennessee market, you can handle getting ratioed. Correct. Those fans are crazy. The craziest I've ever come across are UT fans. So, but she voted for University of Arizona in the AP poll in the 21 spot. University of Arizona hasn't won a game in 706 days. So the idea that
but they got potential. They got potential.
Right. Oh my gosh. So she obviously meant Arizona State, and Arizona State fans were letting her have it yesterday. And at one point I was just like, guys, I think she probably by the 70th mention, she probably gets it.
Yeah.
But people are like, well, doesn't she deserve this for her mistake? And I was like,
don't realize how often that happens.
Yeah. Well, Arizona and Arizona State fans do, because it happens to them all of the time.
And that's because they haven't been particularly good and haven't been in the top 25. So they're like, oh, Arizona. Yeah. That one. And you're like, oh, which one is which? Maybe get better sooner, because nobody confuses Oregon and Oregon State anymore. I'm just saying.
But or even Washington and Washington State. For some reason, it always happens with the Arizona schools. It's not like they're not similar colors. And I honestly, I don't get it. But it really pisses both fan bases off. And
because
so they were really
used
mad
to being ranked. So people.
Yeah, but I just want to tell these people that are all like dumping on this one woman. Like you're taking out every time this has ever happened on her.
Yeah,
it's not proportional. But I think if I was in Danny Gonzalez's situation, I would just want that person to know how alone they are in feeling that way. Because sometimes it's important to know that something that might offend you. Well, like what some did my daddy got his neck stepped on. Like, is it that personal or is it just the violent imagery of it? Are you so ingrained in academia that you don't understand football speak? Because, again, I have never heard this term in relation to anything other than sports. It's one of those things that you know has a root in something else, but you don't have any connection to whatever that is.
Yep. Yeah, I have not heard it used either. So what do you think the chances are that I would apologize if I were Danny Gonzalez?
If you were a head coach of your alma mater, so if you were at Oregon as the head coach and the athletic director came to you and was like, hey, can you just nip this in the bud? Because here's what he said. Here's his apology. He said he didn't intend to offend anyone, and a UNM professor expressed that he was offended by it. Gonzalez declined to comment who the professor was. Could you at least do that? Like, I didn't mean to offend anyone.
No.
You couldn't even do that?
No. I'd be like, I would take the Brian Kelly approach to it. Like, bro, if you don't understand it, then this ain't for you.
I would probably be like, okay, so I just want to get out there and step on the neck of this controversy once and for all.
I'm going to step on the neck of this controversy and nip it in the butt. and we're not going to beat a dead horse here. We're going to so then all the PETA people can get mad. All right. That's Canceler Consequence. We had a tragedy, though, this week. Michael K. Williams, fantastic actor. He passed away. He was found in his New York apartment. And this was a very sad story because he was like, I remember the first time that I really paid attention to him. And that was during what is one of my favorite shows of all time, The Wire. Like, that's when he came on the scene for me. He's been in so many movies, so many TV shows since The Wire. And the dude has been, I mean, like, and he had one of the most iconic, I think, what the hell do you call it? Characters in Omar Little. He was a like in the middle of The Wire. So The Wire is a Baltimore drug show. He is a
pretty good way of summing it up,
right? It is, and this dude Omar Little robs drug dealers. But he's also homosexual. So it kind of flies in the face of some stereotypes. And he's the most feared person in the show. Like, you don't want Omar coming after you.
And he's code driven. And he treats the drug game as a everybody has their roles to play.
Yeah, and this is mine.
Yeah. It was a fascinating character in a very good show. I think the thing that probably makes his character so iconic is that they equate the two things. I don't think there's anybody, because I would say most of my friends consider The Wire to be a top five show, if not their favorite.
Yes.
But most of them also would not think that if Omar Little was not a central character show.
Yep.
It always stood out to me that his death in that show was meaningless.
Yes.
That he was shot by a kid after all that legend that it was just a random gun. on the street that got him.
But that's real life, though. Like, that's the crazy part about it is that he wasn't going to get hit by the drug dealers. It was going to be some weirdo incident. And you're like, Omar got killed. You're like, wow. And that's what happens in real life.
Yeah. It was just going to be some random gun on the street, some kid that thought that they could make their name by getting the boogeyman when they had the chance. And it reminded me one of my all time favorite books that they make you read when you're a lit major is called The Things They Carried. And it's about an army unit, I think, marching through Vietnam. And every chapter is about a different character. And the only good character in the entire book, like morally good, like everything about them is good, is a guy named Kiowa. And he drowns in like a manure field. And you're just like, man, well, that was meaningless. And it's like, well, that's the point. This war is going to get, it doesn't care if you're good, doesn't care if you're bad, doesn't care if you're compelling, it doesn't care if you have a coat. It's going to get you. And that's how that always stood out to me. One of the most impactful things in that show was his death. And he's somebody, I've listened to the Mark Maron podcast a lot. He's somebody who's pretty open about the fact that he was doing The Wire while actually dealing with a real life addiction and worked to clean it up and consistently worked in Hollywood for probably a good 14, 15 straight years, was considered by many to be one of the great television character actors. I never watched Boardwalk Empire. I did watch The Night Of. I've watched a bunch of other stuff that he's in, and you know he was good because you could still, it would take a minute, but you could still find a way to release him from Omar Little and invest in whatever other character he was playing, even though it was so ingrained in if you saw him, you'd be like, that's Omar.
Yep. Yeah,
in fact,
exactly.
Like, I'm pretty sure.
And he was chalky white in Boardwalk Empire. And he was only in that. Well, not only, but he was in 51 episodes of The Wire, but 56 episodes of Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah. And he and I watched the season of Lovecraft Country that just got canceled that he was in. And you know, who knows why people deal with things the way that they deal with them. But I just that was definitely a special actor who and you don't hear people talk about television characters having a real life impact on them. Maybe television shows, but not individual characters within a show the way that they talk about Michael K. Williams. And so best to his friends and his family and all the people that he's worked with, and his work will it'll live on.
Yep. Now it is time for the best of social media.
Now, here's the best of social media,
where we literally show you the best things from social media and then sometimes the worst of social media as well. Here is one thing. Statue. We're on statue removal mode right now. Ralph, where is this one coming out from?
Virginia.
So that was the crowd cheering. What's coming out of Virginia?
Richmond, Virginia, a statue erected of Robert
Reister.
E. Lee.
He's Ralph Amson, and this is Reister or Wrong.
This has obviously
crowds at football games this weekend were
population
enormous, and people are upset about
it. You can't hear me.
You have CNN talking about it.
Okay,
this has a group of the population, and you also have right wing
sports
pundits talking about,
this is the greatest thing that ever happened to America.
All of this sorts of
and Matt Walsh. He apparently hates women in sports because he thinks that women are
live?
Ruining the games that were designed for us men.
Oh, wow.
I hear the,
Danny Gonzalez,
the podcast
head coach
playing live
New
right
Mexico,
now as we're recording.
Ed Ogeron, head coach at LSU. And
I don't even know what to do.
That's weird, dude. That is weird that started happening. But anyways.
I was like, you said, you can't hear me. I was like, I can hear two of you actually at the exact same time.
Oh, so
that's too much, George.
Yes. There's never too much, George. So Robert E. Lee statue is going out. This one of the biggest ones of him. Are you cool with statues being removed?
I'm never cool with statues being put up in the first place.
I knew you were going to say that. You have a long-standing.
You're right. I don't like statues.
I think false idols.
kind of like we're bumping up against it, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree with you there.
I'm not even bumping up against it. Like, statue of a person it's actually super literal. Like, yep. That is, and I've never been into statues. Put them in a museum for like the specific purpose of remembrance. I'm all about that. But just the idea of, statues commemorating people has always felt weird to me. If the statue is cartoonish or fictional, I do not feel the same way.
Yes.
So like the Loa statues on Easter Island, the giant heads, or like the statue of David, nobody's penis is that size. So
there are micro penises, I've heard.
I don't think that guy's real. But if it's a statue of like, so I was outside the Panthers stadium and there's a statue of Jerry Richardson and I was like, eh. And then there's two giant statues of huge Panthers. And I was like, oh, that's badass.
Yeah.
But like, I get really uncomfortable. And we're talking even one of my absolute biggest heroes, Pat Tillman, has a statue in one of the end zones at Sun Devil Stadium. And there's another statue of Pat Tillman outside of what used to be University of Phoenix Stadium. I don't even know what it's called now, but where the Cardinals play. And in both instances, I'm left wondering to myself, would he have liked that?
Yep.
And I don't know. But the Robert E. Lee thing, you know, I know why people are cheering. You know why people are cheering. It's never going to bother me that a statue of anybody gets taken down because I think statues are weird. What do you feel about it?
I agree with you. Yeah, like that's the, I don't even have anything more to add except for I agree with you about statues in general.
If Phil Knight came to you and he was like, George, we need a George Reister statue outside of Autzen.
I would rather have my name on the building. Like, George Reister Field at Autzen Stadium. Don't give me a statue.
Yeah. What's wrong with pictures of people? The statue thing, and maybe it's just that like Old Testament understanding of you know, yeah, it feels like it's really bumping up against the line, and it feels like we've been super permissive about it for a really long time as a society. We consider it to be this huge honor. I don't feel the same way about busts, and obviously those are in the Hall of Fame, so it's the specific purpose of going in there to look at those things. But if you're just putting the statue on a street corner, like, you don't know what that person whatever. I'm a hypocrite because every time I'm in Atlanta, I'm taking pictures in front of the Dominique Wilkins statue. So, but could Robert E. Lee windmill dunk? No,
exactly, and especially not with two hands. All right. So the next best thing from social media, which I think is the worst thing of social media, and I obviously have the greatest food takes of all time, and I am a foodie and curator of nice things in life. There's a company called Van Leeuwen. They apparently make ice cream, and they have a new limited edition flavor. It is Kraft macaroni and cheese flavored ice cream. Ralph, this is a jailable offense. There should be charges pressed against this company. They should get disbanded for just absolute insanity, bro. First thing is, it's not even for the fact that they chose macaroni and cheese flavored ice cream, because I mean, there's probably some, you know, like somebody somewhere wants it, right? There's a pot for every lid. But the fact that they chose Kraft macaroni and cheese, hell no. Hell no, hell no, hell no.
Yeah, I would try pretty much anything just to say that I tried it. This is going to be a no for me.
Like, it's ice cream. Like, I want my ice cream to be sweet and good and, you know.
Yeah, like the one nobody ever says, like, oh, Kraft macaroni and cheese, so great. I just wish it was colder and sweeter.
Exactly.
So tell me this, though. Have you ever heard of Van Leeuwen before?
Nope.
Neither have I. And because of this Kraft macaroni and cheese pint of ice cream, which is limited to two per person, if you
Okay. Website, oh my gosh.
Because you're definitely going to want seconds. But it did drive me to their website to figure out what the hell was going on. And I'm not going to lie, the rest of their stuff looks awesome. And they have five places out by you. And
yeah, I just saw that. Dude, they have brown sugar chunk. Okay, possible. They have a chocolate fudge brownie. I'll pass on that. But somebody that seems Mary and Berry cheesecake. I'm in.
I love it.
Oh, they actually have some really good looking flavors here. I would eat Van Leeuwen. I would try Van Leeuwen ice cream. I don't know if it can top Owls, but I would try it. But I'm damn sure not getting this Kraft macaroni and cheese.
It must be good because it's $12 a pint. But I'm saying the Kraft macaroni and cheese did its job because here we are on their website looking at their different ice cream flavors. I will say they do have a peanut butter brownie cup that looks pretty good.
Hell no. No way. What? Peanut butter brownie ice cream. Even worse.
Would you rather Kraft macaroni and cheese ice cream or peanut butter brownie?
So do I want to be stabbed or drowned?
The fact that you're hesitating on a choice between eating cold sugary macaroni and cheese versus peanut butter and chocolate is a problem.
I'd probably go with the mac and cheese.
Ugh, my stomach hurts just listening to you talk.
All right, next thing up is this is the most awesome door sign of all time. Dear visitors, in order to protect my concentration and sanity, I have decided to implement a door policy. Door open. Very welcome to knock and come in. Yes, I would love a chat. Door closed. Please do not knock at my door or come in unless you have urgent business. I'm extremely easily distracted and will talk to you until the end of time instead of writing my dissertation. And never come in without knocking. But there was an asterisk next to unless you have urgent business. List of things that are urgent business. The door, the building, or someone is on fire. Number two, you're bringing me coffee. Number three, a revolution. Or number four, there is a dog.
I feel this sign very deeply.
What about you resonates with this sign?
There's an episode of Malcolm in the Middle where the oldest kid is so easily distracted that they take everything out of his room. So it's just like a mattress,
yeah,
a bare desk. And he's locked in there with some homework that he has to get done. And as he's locked in there, he notices that one of the threads on his sweater is loose. So he starts tugging at it. And then they do a cut scene to them coming back into his room to see if he's got his work done. And the entire room is full of string and he has no sweater on anymore. And I've never identified more with anything than I did with that scene. So to see this door sign, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, definitely have to let people know that I can't have you around because I'm not going to want you to leave and it's on me, not you.
So come in at your own peril. All right. The last thing on the best of social media, this text message thread is allegedly from Kanye West to a producer or someone who's supposed to work with him for music. And Kanye texts, mind you, the name on here says KW. Don't know if it's Kanye, but this is supposedly him. He says, Kanye says at 9:34 a.m., good morning, let's work. At 11:23, you're fired, go home. He says, I'm really sorry, I have no excuse. I set an alarm for 7:30, and for whatever reason, my phone wasn't alerting me. I woke up at 11:08 to missed calls and got dressed as fast as I could. Lou was already in his way to get Boogs and they just got there. I didn't call back right away because I was in panic trying to find a ride. I know this is unacceptable. I'm sorry.
he replies back, stop texting, go find God, come back after you found God. And people were defending this dude. They were like, oh, how could Kanye? He's got no humanity. He fired him. The dude set an alarm for 7:30. 9:30, he texts him. 11:23, he texts him. Not getting a response. So he fired him. I don't see, like, professionals aren't willing to wait on you, especially when you're not the marquee talent. Like, are you going to wait on Kanye if he's late? Yes. Unfortunately, yes. But there are some people that'll be like, yo, I'm not working with you if you don't show up on time. And that's period. That's on period.
It is Kanye's prerogative to choose who he wants to work with, just like it would be their prerogative if they called and wanted to get cable set up. And the cable person told them that they'd be there between 8 and noon. And at 1:30 p.m., they decided to go with YouTube TV instead. If those text messages got published, would the entire internet be like, oh, this is completely ridiculous. This isn't sensible. Like, no, it is your prerogative to decide how you're going to spend your money and who you're going to afford opportunities to. Now, the way that he went about it, telling him to go find God, that's wild boy shit. Like, you're entering the Billy Madison. A simple no would have been fine.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You don't need to give the whole like we are all dumber for having listened to you. Like, you don't need to get into that territory. But you could just fire some. It's up to you who you want to work with and how you want to spend your time and money. Period. Yep. And if you and especially if that person's not respecting your time unintentionally or intentionally. And I say that as a habitually late person. Never like this though. I'll be there 8 minutes after I said I would. That's my MO.
All right. Well, that's Reister or Wrong for the day. I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amsden. Peace out. Catch you guys on Friday.